Good morning and welcome to Backchat. I'm Hugh Chiverton.
And I'm Terry Neelan. Today we're asking whether we need a competition law.
The chief executive raised the issue of fair competition in his policy address and set up an independent committee to look at the pros and cons. The WTO has urged us to set up a competition law as we're the only developed APEC economy that has no such legislation.
Well, yesterday legislators rejected a motion calling for such a law, and the dilemma is whether we can still maintain our free market after introducing one.
So, is it better to work sector by sector or to introduce an omnibus competition law? Tell us what you think or give us a question, 233 88266, or you can email backchat at rthk.org.hk. And joining us for this first part of the discussion, we have in our central studio David Webb from website.com and Andrew Work from the Lion Rock Institute. And joining us here in Kowloon Tong, Professor Leonard Cheng, Chair Professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Science and Technology. And we hope to be joined by a couple of legislators soon. But let's go first perhaps to David Webb. David, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining in. The legislators yesterday, as we mentioned, were debating this issue and was defeated. Was that a surprise to you?
Not really, given the political structure of LegCo. I presume it was defeated by the functional constituencies, many of which represent big business interests, who are not interested in having a competition law.
And yet the government seems to be leaning towards it. There seems to be that strange contradiction.
Yes, I mean, it is encouraging that the chief executive has set up a committee to study whether we should have a competition law. I think the answer ought to be blindingly obvious, but it's nice to study it anyway. I think it's no coincidence that this goes hand in hand with a proposal for a modicum of democratic reform, because in most modern democracies, which we're not yet, they do have competition laws because it's in the public interest, in the consumer's interest, and indeed in the interests of small and medium enterprises who are trying to compete on what they would like to be a level playing field, to have such a law. So I think hand in hand with inching towards democracy goes inching towards a competition law.
So it's blindingly obvious we need one.
Yes, it's particularly if you ask people who are trying to compete in some of the more dominated sectors of the economy. It's one of the problems with that is that the government ends up trying to compensate for the lack of a competition law by inventing schemes, subsidies, loans and grants for small and medium enterprises. That's wasting taxpayers' money that would be better spent enforcing a competition law.
And you need one big law rather than dealing with it sector by sector?
We don't have separate fraud laws for each sector of the economy or separate police forces for each sector of the economy, and I don't think there's any need to have a sort of smattering of individual laws for each sector either. Obviously, there needs to be careful thought put into the regulatory structures at individual sector level, but some basic concepts such as price fixing, bid rigging, retail price maintenance, and other anti-competitive practices, predatory pricing, for example. Those are pretty universal and can be dealt with a universal competition law, rather than selectively taking sectors where there aren't too many strong vested interests who have political power to stop progress being made. And that's what the government's done so far. They've targeted sectors which were largely not involving major local tycoons. Telecoms, for example, was a British monopoly. Banking was shared by HSBC and Standard Chartered. Both of those sectors have been deregulated, and in the case of telecoms, there are specific competition provisions.
So very political, basically.
Yes.
The regulation and the
If you have a competition law, it obviously has to apply to all sectors, but if you go for what the government calls sector-specific and what I would call sector-selective approach, then you leave alone certain sectors where there are many votes on the election committee who could determine the outcome of the next chief executive election.
Well, now joined on the line by the chairman of the Democratic Party, Lee Wing Tat. Mr. Lee, good morning.
Good morning.
Yesterday in LegCo, your motion calling for a competition law was voted down by, I think, 28 votes to 21. Were you surprised?
Actually, in terms of vote number, I actually get majority in the voting.
That's the old story.
Because there's a division of voting in the functional constituency and also the direct election chamber. Actually, I think I get the yes on the election, direct election chamber. But because, you know, there's a lot of sectoral interest inside the functional constituency, so they woke me down. But I think The government, I think they will move gradually on this thing, because when we met the financial secretary, Mr. Henry Tan, I think last week, he gave us a positive sign that the government want to proceed this thing forward. But they have not decided what kinds of form they will do that. Because at this moment, the government do this thing by a sector-by-sector approach. And I think it's not very effective, because by doing this kind of thing in a particular sector, it's a very political move, because you lose some kinds of business sector well-represented in the legislature. And they're very, very reluctant to accept this kind of thing. And so I think a cross-the-board approach, I think, will minimize these kinds of obstacle. I hope that, because actually, if you can't work in the Legislative Council, the majority of members support this move. And because if any kinds of policy or ordinance or bill put forward by the administration, it don't have voting by separate chambers, they only need a majority of the voting that can pass the resolution. But I think the most important thing is that the government should look at this thing as a tool to enhance that kind of level playing field in Hong Kong's competition and business.
You say you've got the support of most of the members. You obviously don't, because you were defeated by 28 votes to 21.
No, I was actually get 28 votes. The other side is 18 votes. But the province is, you know, we have a voting system that we have a separation of voting chamber.
Yes, indeed.
The functional and the direct election. I get the support in the direct election. And also in the functional, I only get 14 to 11. So with three more votes, I actually win in two chambers. But in a, if you count the majority of votes, I actually win in the legislature.
Do you think the government, if it does introduce an omnibus, an umbrella competition policy law, a bill, do you think it could get passed in LegCo?
I think if they do it and they do a lot of lobby, I think they have enough votes to pass in the legislature. But the thing is that we hope that the business sector, they will have a change of mind, because the General Chamber of Commerce still have very cautious approach about this thing. And although they are not totally object this kind of thing, but they advise the governments to do this thing in a very gradual and very cautious approach. I think governments need a lot of discussion with the business sector, so that they know by introducing these kinds of instrument and legislation, Hong Kong is a more free and also a more level playing field area.
Well, let's now turn to Professor Leonard Cheng, Chair Professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Science and Technology. Professor Cheng, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you much for joining us. Now, I know that back in 98, you wrote a book on this subject, or edited it, Competition Policy and the Regulation of Business. What was your answer then, and what's your answer now?
Well, my answer then was that Hong Kong needed a competition law, economy-wide, all for competition law, and I take the same position today.
Why?
Well, first of all, we need a competition law to ensure that there will be sufficient competition in all industries. And so all the opponents will say, well, the market will take care of it. They're right only when the market is sufficiently competitive. But if the market is not competitive enough, then we need additional elements to make it competitive, which is a competition law. Now then, that view is already accepted by government, except the government proposed, instead of a economy-wide competition law, they propose a sector-specific legislation to deal with specific sectors. Now, that has its own problem because, first of all, sectors that are not covered may be problematic. Second, different industries are connected, so that certain practices that are anti-competitive, if they're not legal, they could find ways to achieve similar outcomes if they have related industries, and more specifically complementary industries, which are not regulated specifically.
Okay. Andrew Work from the Lion Rock Institute, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I think your views are slightly different.
Yeah, I'd say they're very different. Obviously the Lion Rock Institute is quite well known as being strongly against having a competition policy or antitrust law here in Hong Kong. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for it. Li Wing Tat's piece in this SCMP yesterday was entitled Give the Little Guy a Chance. You know, one of the problems with antitrust law is that it really doesn't do very much for the little guy. You know, who uses antitrust law around the world? In Europe, it was Pepsi versus Coke. In the United States, AMD versus Intel, Netscape versus Microsoft. It's the big guys when they, you know, when the lesser of two companies can't compete, they go out there and they use antitrust law. And the result usually is an increase in prices to consumers. And we've seen that with Coca-Cola in Europe. We've seen that with bread in the United States. We've seen it with containers in the United States. After competition efforts, prices actually went up.
So the entire developed world is going down the wrong road.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's a little bit like the war on drugs in the United States. You know, regardless of what you think of the problem, a lot of time, money, and effort has been wasted chasing all the wrong people, and you know, still a lot of drugs in America.
I don't see the connection. I'm sorry.
Well, what I'm saying is that antitrust law in Hong Kong, this is going to be our war on drugs. We're going to spend a lot of money and time and efforts, and we're going to get all the wrong people and not get the results we want, just like the United States.
David Webb?
No, I think that's a rather defeatist attitude. I'm quite confident that we are capable, with our very experienced civil service, of coming up with a competition law which works. And I don't understand the analogy with the war on drugs, but competition law has been successfully implemented to the benefit of consumers around the world. You just have to look at things like vitamin pricing, where there was a major bust of price fixing ring there. Vitamin prices have come down. You look at mobile phone regulation or telephone regulation in Hong Kong. We now have a very vigorous competitive market where consumers get great prices and plenty of consumer choice. And that's one of the benefits of having competition laws.
But Hong Kong's constantly voted as one of the world's freest economies. We've done pretty well over the years without one, haven't we?
We get voted by certain right-wing think tanks in America as being one of the world's freest economies, and we are, by comparison to America, for example. We do not have quotas on textile imports. We don't impose anti-dumping duties on imports. We don't subsidize farmers because we don't have many farmers. We may have a few little projects for them, but on the whole, we don't distort our markets in the way that America does. But a lot of these measures are looked at on an external basis, what happens across our borders. We only tax alcohol, fuel, and tobacco and so on. Otherwise, we don't, and they're taxed for good reasons. But internally, we don't have a competition law. America does have an antitrust law. There are procedures that and redress that consumers and businesses in America can take if they feel that they're being unfairly treated, and that's not the case in Hong Kong, and numerous international organizations have criticized us for that. And ultimately, it's to our disadvantage if we end up with a less competitive economy, because we are still competing with other places in the region for multinational business headquarters, for expatriates to come here and live and work. And
They're pouring in. The expatriates are pouring in. The Property Post yesterday was saying that because so many expatriates are coming, the price of luxury housing, luxury service apartments, is going through the roof. Isn't there a case to say that this cozy arrangement between government and big business in Hong Kong has served us pretty well?
I don't think so. Not if you look at the way our markets are structured. We may be attracting a lot of new arrivals for various economic reasons, but we'd probably attract more if we had a better competition policy. And our property prices and rents that you just mentioned would be lower. One of the problems is that the land premium system, which requires huge upfront payments for the right to develop a piece of land, has resulted over time in only a handful of developers being able to bid for big projects. There were only three bids, for example, in the West Kowloon project, and two of those involved consortiums.
Leaving Tad, what about this point that antitrust laws are really only used by very big players with armies of lawyers?
I think we can learn experience in other countries just like USA. If they have experience that the antitrust law and also the investigatory body actually reuse the resources to just taking up some kinds of players that actually attacked by another big players. I think for the legislator and also the government, when we are stuck to think about that piece of legislation, I think we must more focus on what kinds of mechanisms that we can provide a level playing field. And also, what we're concerned more about in Hong Kong is about the medium and small enterprises. They are not competitive enough, not because of the efficiency or the way of doing business, but there are lots of other kinds of market barriers, setting, and other things. So, I think
but in fact, SMEs.
If this that kind of experience in USA, I think in the legislation and also in the forming of the investigative body, we must take care about this question.
But SMEs are very successful in Hong Kong, aren't they? Aren't they a bigger sector of our economy than they are, for example, in the United States?
Because you know there's some kind of supermarket in Hong Kong actually use some kind of what we call...
Well, yes, there are contrary examples, but isn't it true that SMEs are a large part of our industry, a bigger part than in the United States?
Of course, but you have to also observe there's a phenomenon in Hong Kong. Some kinds of big companies, just like supermarket, they sometimes use a cut-throat pricing mechanism actually to want to out-compete other small shops owners and also small shops in the West market. I think this kind of thing, if there's no statutory requirement, you have no power to investigate them. And also, I pick one point. For example, there's some kinds of cross-the-board business. Some property developer have management company and also telecom services. They actually make some kind of bundle service in some private sector's estate. And you have no choice for the individual consumer. So that kind of legislation is not a place for big players to attack each other, but to protect small individual players that don't have the money to shoot the big developer.
When it comes to, aggressive pricing by the supermarkets, that's good, isn't it? The consumer benefits if they cutthroat pricing.
You must think about this in the short term, long term. I remember 5-6 years ago, one watermelon price about $2 or $3 in Hong Kong. It is a cutthroat pricing mechanism. Actually, they want to outcompete the small store owners. The point is, the consumer will get some kinds of benefit in the short term. But you must think that in long term, if all these kind of small store owners around the street corners or in the West market are all out, then they have to monopolize the market and they can raise the price without any kinds of competition.
So are you saying that there's price rigging in the watermelon market? Is that...
But that's just a market, surely, Mr. Lee. That's just how the market works.
I don't think you can say it's a market work. I think you must think about that if they want to use this kind of cut-throat pricing mechanism. The principle of that big company is not on the interest of the consumer. They want to use the great huge resources and capital. They want to outbid small owners. But in the long term, where there's no other people compete with them, they actually can raise the price by its own.
Yeah, except that never happens. Sorry to interrupt, but you know, this is where people get confused and they don't understand the economics of the situation. You know, the vitamins are another good example. When, yes, they got busted for price fixing, and prices didn't go down. They all got fined by the U.S. government. Prices went down when Chinese factories got into the market and destroyed the price of things like vitamin C. Right now, the kind of shop-owning situation that Li Wing-Tat's talking about, they're saying in Orange County, if they would remove laws to allow Walmart in, consumers would save $6 billion a year by offering lower prices. And the idea that in 20 years from now, they're going to have every store in this case in California is just fallacious. And, you know, this is where people get confused and they don't look at what actually happens.
You're saying that when Chinese factories got in on the act of manufacturing vitamin C, they destroyed the price? You mean they brought the price down?
Oh, yeah. It was a typical situation where once the Chinese decided that they wanted to get involved in that market, they built factories like crazy and they destroyed the price for vitamins.
Fantastic, isn't it? And that's really good news.
Well, yeah, that's competition. You know, yes, did ADM get busted for price fixing? Yes, they did. And the price didn't change, and that's the problem with antitrust law. It doesn't make a difference. Like, really, how many people listening today are using Microsoft Explorer on their browser?
Yeah. Mr. Lee, can I forgive my ignorance, but in the LegCo vote, did the DAB support you?
The DAB actually not support.
And the Liberal Party didn't support, I guess?
Yes, the other two major parties did not support, but I get most of the directly elected member independent. Okay. And even one ex-co member, Mr. David Lee, supports my motion.
Mr. Lee from the Bank of East Asia.
We've had an email from Axel who says, for goodness sake, give us a pro-competition law, save us from big business greed. Otherwise, put Mickey Mouse on our flag as an emblem. That comes from Axel. But Li Wing-Tat, I know you've got to go at 9 o'clock, so I just wanted to pick on you for a little bit. Is this a certain amount of envy? This is blaming everything on big businesses and on these tycoons that we imagine are stealing our birthright and things like this. Does it make sense, or is it just a perception?
I think, first of all, you must say a principle very clearly. We are not doing this thing against the big tycoon, the big businessmen. If they do the business in a fair way. But the problem is we observe a lot of this kind of anti-competitive behavior. And actually, Hong Kong, you can see it's free society, but you give them a great hand when you do something against the level playing field principle. I think the legislator in Hong Kong, actually, when they do this thing in a very cautious and careful manner, and I don't think they're actually using legislation to actually suppress the kinds of enviations and also motivation of the big business.
Leonard Cheng, that example of cutthroat pricing of melons, do you think that that's a case where the government should step in and say, you can't charge that for melons, that's too little?
Well, I don't think the government would really have to get into all these detailed competitive tactics.
But in principle?
But I think the principle is that I don't quite agree that the purpose of competition policy is to protect a particular type of companies. The purpose is really to protect the competitive process, but not worrying about who is winning or losing. So that, you know, it doesn't say, well, it's going to be against the big guys or for the big guys, for the small guys or against the small guys. It's protecting the competitive process for the benefit of the consumers.
So in that case where the supermarkets can do cutthroat pricing, is that fair competition?
Well, we know that pricing could be really low for different reasons, and one reason just for promotion. But if a company does so with the explicit purpose of actually destroying competitors, then it might be problematic if that is done by a dominant firm. But otherwise, you know...
Might be problematic. Do you think is that unfair? Is that anti-competitive to do
that? Well, that's anti-competitive if the purpose of doing so is to stifle competition. But if it does not have such an effect, and if that is not the purpose, I think this type of so-called deep price cuts is not a problem at all. It's just a common observation, common phenomenon in the marketplace.
Mr. Lee, just before you do go, I note that the government's Competition Policy Review Committee is due to report probably in the middle of next year. I think you're saying that Henry Tang has indicated to you that the government is leaning towards a competition law. Is that right?
I have not made the conclusion. Okay. I only said that when we had a discussion last week, we received some positive response from the financial secretary. But he said to me that they have to do a very thorough investigation and also research. And you must know that I think next month they will release the reports about the oil retail in Hong Kong. And I think they are doing a very gradual approach. But I hope that they can, when they release the report and the research, they have good news to Hong Kong.
Okay, Mr. Lee, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
David Webb, knowing how this government works, you've observed them over the years, do you see the prospects of an umbrella competition law coming into force as being bright or not?
Well, I'm very cautiously optimistic. The fact is that the chief executive is now a career civil servant and not a shipping tycoon whose company was a member of a cartel. So his background speaks in his favour. But on the other hand, realistic, I suspect that what we'll end up with is a competition law, but one with insufficient powers for the competition authority.
Sounds like Hong Kong to me. Yes, that sounds...
So we'll be seen to have a competition law and thereby satisfy international peers. But we'll find that in practice it needs more teeth, it needs more eyes. And you need to have both, of course. You need to have investigatory powers, and there need to be the ability to bring prosecutions and meaningful sanctions for anti-competitive practices. If there aren't meaningful financial penalties, then the law won't achieve anything. So, step by step.
Okay, but we hope to have more competition after the news at 9 when Howard Young from the Liberal Party joins us. But we've got a break for 5 minutes for the news now. Weather forecast today, mainly fine, maximum temperature 23 degrees, mainly fine for the rest of the week. 19 degrees Celsius at the moment, relative humidity is at 81%. Back in 5 minutes, more on competition law.
You're listening to Backchat on Radio 3. Call us on 233-88266 or email backchat@rthk.org.hk. It's your voice.
Welcome back to Backchat. This morning we're asking whether we should have a competition policy, competition law, and helping us address the question, we're joined by Professor Leonard Cheng from the Department of Economics at the University of Science and Technology, Andrew Work from the Lion Rock Institute, David Webb from website.com. We're joined now by legislator Howard Young of the Liberal Party.
Mr. Young, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You decided to vote against Lee Wing-Tat's motion in LegCo yesterday in favour of a competition law. Your critics will say, here we are, once again, the Liberal Party lining up with its mates in big business against the man in the street and against the interests of the community as a whole. How would you address that?
The Liberal Party has always been, and consistently been, for free competition. However, we do not believe that government should interfere in the free economy and set out laws just for the sake of setting out laws when there is not a proven case that free competition does not exist.
You're saying that there are no cartels in Hong Kong?
No, in fact, we were the party that moved a motion earlier on in LegCo calling for the government to investigate, for instance, the petroleum and oil industry to see whether there were cartels and monopolies and price fixing, if they were to consider setting up legislation to address the issue. So what we are against is to set up legislation now across the board on such matters. You must remember that Hong Kong is and has consistently been raised as the one of the freest, if not the freest economy.
By right-wing think tanks?
Well, no. I think by many organizations, Hong Kong is a very free economy. We agree that we should have legislation where and when necessary. In fact, we voted for legislation to prevent excessive acquisitions and mergers in the telecoms industry, and we agree that in the TV industry there ought to be certain laws, and we propose looking at the petroleum industry. And if there are other industries where there are suspected to be cartels, then by all means go investigate them, and if there is a case, consider legislation. But not to jump to conclusions and have it across the board right now.
It's David Webb here. How can you investigate without investigatory powers? I mean, if it's simply a matter of politely requesting petroleum companies to tell you about their businesses, they're just going to say no or come up with specious information, are they not?
No. If there is a law on a specific industry, then certainly we would like to be let government have investigatory powers. When we say investigate...
Yes, but you're going around in circles. You're saying that you can't have a law until you know that there's a problem, but you can't know that there's a problem unless you've got investigatory powers, can you?
No. Whether we have a problem is a more... It's in the macro sense whether we have a problem. That if we deem that there is a problem, then we have a law where looking at specific injury in the micro sense, then of course it should have investigatory powers. I use the word investigate in the earlier context. In saying that we should investigate whether there are industries that need such legislation. After investigation, we think that there are certain industries that need legislation, such as telecoms, TV, broadcasting, then there should be investigatory powers.
And Mr. Hao Yang, without a law, where is the authority to investigate coming from?
There can only be authority to investigate if there is a law.
So you're saying there should be a law? I think
there should be a law directed at specific industries where we think there is a problem.
So, how do you know that there's a problem without having a law that gives you the powers to require businesses to deliver up business records, financial statements, and so forth, so that you can determine whether there is a problem in a specific sector? I think you're arguing in favour, at the very least, of having an all-embracing law that allows investigatory powers to discover whether there is a problem.
We did argue, in fact, for government to study the issue in an all-embracing manner to tell us whether there are industries where the issue needs to be addressed. And I believe government is actually responding to our call and doing this for the petroleum industry.
Well, Mr. Young,
they've done with the petroleum industry is to appoint Arcullion Associates, which happens to be owned by an executive councillor, to compile a report on the industry, but it has no investigatory powers.
I need to correct you there. That study started some time ago before Mr. Akali was an executive councillor.
I said that he is an executive councillor, and that is true. They were appointed earlier this year. But the point is that they have no investigatory powers. They can only ask the various companies in the industry whether they would like to give information to present their case or not.
Mr. Young, I mean, I would hate to describe the Liberal Party as being reactionary or swimming against a worldwide tide on this issue, but let me finish.
We were not the only ones that voted yesterday.
Do you want to represent the DAB this morning?
Last night, if you look at the voting records, I believe it was DAB and also the Alliance and other members that voted against it. So don't overestimate the influence of our 10 votes in Legco.
Okay, but presumably this morning you are speaking only for the Liberal Party.
I might be the only one who's willing to come on air to discuss it with you.
Okay, but as Li Wing-Tat pointed out, that Hong Kong's a member of APEC. Of all the members of APEC, only three don't have a competition law. That's Malaysia, Papua New Guinea, and Brunei. We're not in very good company there, are we?
Well,
as Asia's world city,
I do not believe that we, just because somebody else has it, we don't have it, or vice versa, that you can jump to that conclusion. You look at Hong Kong consistently is rated as one of the freest economies
by the right
wing,
by the right wing think tanks only.
But even if Leland,
you say like there's something wrong with these organizations.
No, I'm saying that's what they are. They're right wing think tanks. I mean, let's call them a proper name. They're not the Communist Party. They're not the Labour. But they're right wing think tanks.
The Heritage Foundation is definitely a right wing think tank. The Fraser Institute in Canada has advocated legalizing marijuana. They're hardly what I'd call a right wing think tank. I'd call them more a free market think tank, or perhaps more libertarian leaning, which is very different.
I think we're confusing ourselves by equating freedom to competition. The very purpose of such the legislation of competition laws is that to really take away the freedom to monopolize, to take away the freedom to stifle competition, to take away the freedom to prevent entrants from coming in into the market to compete, and to take away the freedom from forming cartels to jack up prices.
I mean, it doesn't sound like freedom if there's a government body which can look at your company, can look at your pricing policy, and has the power to investigate anything they want 24 hours a day. That doesn't sound very free.
Well, I don't think governments in the world actually go out and investigate every company on a 24-hour basis.
This is what you're advocating, isn't it?
There's just providing a legal basis for that to be possible in case there's evidence of such acts.
Well, what is the evidence? So you'd have to say there's a body, it's almost like the ICAC, isn't it, that can look at your business practices and can look at your pricing policy whenever they like with the supreme authority. Is that what you're advocating, David Webb?
Yes, it is, and I think that sunshine is the best disinfectant. If you have transparency, if you have the right to require business papers, financial statements, minutes of board meetings and so on, if you suspect that there is anti-competitive behaviour taking place, then you can determine whether there is any evidence
that's
of that, if there is
freedom,
a complaint.
That's your idea of freedom, a government body like the ICAC that can you know, demand to see your accounts and explanations of your pricing policy.
Yes, and those are the investigatory powers that are given under most competition laws in most democracies. Let's look, for example, at the aviation sector. I believe Howard Young is related to Cathay Pacific. If a major airline in a country starts predatory pricing against a startup airline by, for example, selling seats at below cost in order to squeeze them out, they are engaging in predatory pricing in order to get rid of the new competitor so that they can then raise prices again. And there was a famous case involving Laker Airways, which went bust due to predatory pricing by British Airways. And British Airways float in the 1980s on the stock exchange. It was only possible after they paid a very large financial settlement against those charges. If you didn't have investigatory powers in the first place, you probably wouldn't be able to obtain evidence that predatory pricing was taking place.
Just going back to the suggestion that draconian powers are needed here.
What's wrong with publishing information and making it available to investigators?
Let me quote from the UK Competition Act of 1998. It allows investigators to launch dawn raids and to enter premises with reasonable force. Is that what we want in Hong Kong? People breaking down boardrooms with crowbars?
With appropriate checks and balances on that power, yes, because the problem, of course, is that if you know that you're going to be investigated in advance, then you have a tendency to start shredding records and deleting files. That's just the same with any other kind of police investigation, or law enforcement effort, that you need sometimes the element of surprise. But I think that should be subject to court warrants on those search powers, just as there should be court warrants before wiretaps take place.
And the penalties in the UK, people, offending companies are liable to financial penalties of up to 10% of their UK turnover for up to 3 years.
That's actually a European Union standard.
It applies
across the Union.
Yeah.
You do need substantial financial penalties. I mean, if it's only a matter of paying $50,000 and admitting that you might have done something wrong, then companies will just go ahead anyway.
Do we want that in Hong Kong, though, David Webb, that sort of legislation?
Yes, I think you do. There's no point in having legislation against anti-competitive practices if there aren't meaningful penalties when you engage in them.
Yeah, I think we do need to have teeth in the law. Otherwise, it would be just a joke.
Hmm. All right, our number is 233-88266. We've got a caller on the line. Simon, hello, Simon.
Yeah, good morning, Hugh. I'd like to call into... In favour of the repeal of all antitrust laws worldwide, and not to bring them into Hong Kong. If we look at these, they're highly arbitrary laws. I mean, what you're doing, and if you listen to what David Webb was saying, is you're saying companies have to explain their prices, and they're guilty until proven innocent if someone suspects them of these so-called practices. Microsoft.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
No. You did.
Investigators should have the right. Investigators should have the right to obtain information.
In all countries, they are presumed innocent until proven guilty.
Absolutely. And you have to prove the case from information.
But what you're saying through the legislation, if someone suspects them of price collusion or some other activity, they have to provide some sort of commission. They're not taken to court. They're actually suspected. They have to turn over information to the
An independent commission, which would determine whether there is a case, and if so, it would bring a prosecution. The courts would then determine whether or not the party was guilty.
No, but they're actually having to provide evidence against themselves. They're having to prove their innocence. They're having to explain their prices.
No, they're not having to... They're assumed innocent. You have to prove that someone is guilty. That's part of basic law.
No, if you're saying that someone is guilty, if you're saying that someone is possibly fixing prices, and you say to them, okay, you have to explain your prices. We're not the ones who are going to accuse you of fixing prices.
Someone who was not engaging in anti-competitive practices would say, we have nothing to hide. By all means, inspect our accounts. You can look at the way we do our business.
Someone that's been accused of murder? Okay, well, you hand over all the evidence that you have. We don't have any evidence on you, but you actually have to hand over anything that you have and prove that you did not do it. What you're doing is you're reversing the onus of proof. That's the first thing. The second thing...
I don't believe that's the case.
The second thing is... I think that all of you are barking up the wrong tree. The problem is not in Hong Kong, especially. It's not the anti-competitive practices. If you look at these practices, things like the pig market, the electricity market, the airlines, the property market, a lot of this is collusion between the government and those places. Now, the collusion happens because the government, through legislation, stops other people from competing in the market. And what should happen is, instead of bringing in the anti-competitive laws, what the government should be doing is saying, okay, we're going to stop, no longer prevent other people from competing. We are not going to...
I totally agree with you there. There are a number of government practices
that's the whole thing, especially in the electricity market. The government has now said that they are not going to, they're still going to keep the old model where only two companies can compete. That is the collusion. They haven't said that yet.
They are currently studying the scheme of control.
Well, I was in the newspaper yesterday. But basically what they want to do is they want to keep other people out of the market. And that's where anything should be directed against. It should be things like the electricity duopoly. They should say, okay, we're no longer going to support that. We're going to walk away from the market and leave it to the market.
But government barriers are just as bad as barriers set up by incumbent monopolies.
No, the government... No, that's not true. What is bad is the government barriers. The other stuff is companies competing with each other and the best companies getting the rewards.
If the
industries are sufficiently competitive, there's really been nothing to worry about the competition law.
Well, the whole thing is, before you guys get on your big bandwagon about the competition law, why don't you start with the government-enforced monopolies, the ones where the government come in with a big gun and threaten to put anyone in jail who wants to compete? What happens to anyone who competes with Hong Kong Electric or the other company?
Okay, big question. Simon, yes. Thanks very much for your call.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Can we look at perhaps the main problem areas, which areas are seen as the most egregious in Hong Kong? People talk about oil prices, they talk about supermarkets. Power supply is a very complicated
gas,
one.
People talk about gas supplies to housing estates.
Yes, Howard Young, they do indeed. Yes. So there are problem areas, aren't there?
Yes, petroleum, supermarkets, gas, and
it used to be banks, but banks have
been. These are the areas where the community is most concerned about and very visual.
Has the Liberal Party asked for an investigation on supermarkets or gas?
We believe the first step should be to look at investigation petroleum, which we did. We moved the motion.
Why not investigate all of them?
It was Selina Chow's motion that asked government to do this.
And did anything happen?
Yes. Government is looking at that particular industry.
But
I believe the report is due out within the next half year.
We still have two supermarkets, don't we? Only two.
We had two. Carrefour did once try to come in, and then they packed up and they went to China, I believe.
In the terms.
LPG supplies to housing estates, that is also another one which many people are concerned about.
But you see, without investigatory powers, Mr. Young, we'll never know, in fact, whether there is a problem in these sectors. We can suspect that there are problems,
Well, without investigatory powers, we decided to set up laws to deal with the matter in telecommunications.
But it was fairly obvious that there was a government-authorised monopoly there.
And without investigatory powers, we do have legislation on TV broadcasting already.
Andrew?
I think the caller made a good point, is that we have to look to government. If you want a list of people that we should be looking at that have undue market power, you know, probably the best place to look is people that are the strongest advocates are looking into this. Like Ronald Alcula, he runs the biggest monopoly in town, the Jockey Club. You know, God forbid you want to set up your own gambling operation in Hong Kong. Let's look at one that really matters to the people of Hong Kong, healthcare. You know, the hospital authority uses government money and has massive market pricing power. As a result, you know, our private healthcare sector only caters to the most wealthy because the hospital authority has priced out anybody at the middle and bottom end. And that's going to have a big impact on the future of Hong Kong's healthcare. When you see real monopoly power or real market power, look for government. Look for government regulation. Look for government subsidies. Jockey Club. Even Cathay Pacific, you know, owes a great deal of their power through government regulations. Most people don't know this, but the landing slots at our airport are not negotiated by the airport with other countries. It's not negotiated by our government. It's negotiated in a twice-a-year meeting by Cathay Pacific.
But surely an anti-competition law would address all these issues.
No, because normally in most countries, anything that's set up and protected by the government is exempted from competition law. And again, this comes back to the point, it just doesn't work. I see our professor nodding his head. He knows that in most countries, things run and set up by the government are exempt.
We're looking at two separate issues, both of which should be addressed. One is government-protected monopolies, and the other one is anti-competitive practices. Both of these areas should be addressed. The caller was right to say that the government does protect monopolies. The Jockey Club's a good example of that, and I've spoken on your program before in favour of deregulating gambling, setting up a gaming commission to ensure that bookmakers honour their bets, and allowing free competition in the sector. There are plenty of things that should be done to reform government policy in various sectors, but doesn't excuse the need for a competition policy and a law.
And agree with David Webb completely.
Right. So which are the worst areas? Supermarkets, gas. A colleague of mine was trying to get his piano tuned the other day, and he phoned up five or six piano tuners. They all charge $400 to tune your piano, so there's a piano tuners cartel out there too.
Here's why this is so hard to prove, is because if you have competitive, you know, if everybody's at about the same price, well, it's either because they're very competitive, they keep track of each other's prices, they have similar types of inputs, and they've all brought their margins down to the bone. Or it's a cartel. You can't tell.
Howard Young, what about the point that dealing with this sector by sector, you can't address things like the issue of telecom services being bundled in with developers, and a lot of the of course the tycoons here in Hong Kong have their fingers in lots of different pies at the same time and can do things across different sectors. If you had legislation which only looks at telecoms or at building or something, you can't pick that up.
I don't think you can come to the conclusion that bundling of services together is or is not monopolistic. I mean, there might be areas where bundling things together benefits the consumer in lower prices. You'd have to look at that particular industry. But yes, I believe that was also one of the areas that was mentioned as one possible area that we could look at.
But how can that be addressed with the industry-specific legislation?
Sorry?
But how can that problem that comes from cross-ownership can be addressed by industry-specific legislation?
Well, you can bring in specific legislation if you believe that that particular industry does have a problem. That's what we did with telecoms.
No, we mean cross-industries.
Cross-industries. In that particular industry, I think it was quite easy to convince people that we needed legislation because we had a situation where a very, very small handful of companies have a very, very large or huge share of the total market. And that is also the reason why we look at petroleum companies.
No, but Mr. Young, what
many, many other industries in Hong Kong, you have many, many participants, and there's nobody who actually, you know, dominates.
No, but Mr. Young, the point is about cross ownership. Examples where it crosses several industries.
Yeah, well, cross ownership within one industry, for instance, the.
No, we're talking about cross ownership across industries. No, Mr. Young, we're talking about cross ownership across different industries. How if you don't have an omnibus competition law, how do you address those problems?
We address it in the case of the TV broadcasting industry now, and all the also
yes, but you're still talking about industry-specific legislation for one particular industry.
Yes, the case we're all referring to is one in which. A developer who owns an estate management company which manages most of its developments after they've been sold bundled its own telecoms services into the management fees. Now, this proves that case-specific regulation and competition law doesn't work because OFTA, which has powers to prevent anti-competitive behaviour, reported back that although they acknowledged there were issues to be dealt with, their powers did not extend beyond the ring fence of telecommunications. They were unable to do anything about the bundling of services.
Andrew Work?
And yet the issue was resolved without a competition law. The consumers complained, and the provider of the services said, okay, we'll change the policy. That's what happens in a normal competitive market.
A few years back, there were cases where people thought that where property developers, after they sold the properties, they put in clauses that almost in perpetuality, they had to use their own offshoot companies to do the management of the estates. Well, we did pass laws that owners' corporations, after a certain period of time, they had the right to vote down and choose another contractor to do management services. So that you can say, in a sense, was across industry, but it was dealt with a law, although it was not competition law, but it did solve the problem. So
it was a law that strengthened property rights, and we didn't need a competition law, and the problem was resolved.
Yeah, that's right. It was resolved. We did not need a competition law, but that was resolved, and we have seen over the past years that there are many housing estates where people have said, okay, we will switch and hire somebody else to do the property management.
Okay, well, Howard Young, and thank you very much indeed, Legislative Councillor, joining us on the line, member of the Liberal Party. Thanks to Andrew Work from the Lion Rock Institute, to Professor Leonard Cheng, who's Chair Professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Science and Technology. Thank you very much indeed, Professor Cheng. And thanks to David Webb, but that's with two Bs, from website.com. Thank you very much indeed, David. And earlier we were also speaking to Legislative Councillor Lee Wing Tat of the Democratic Party, whose motion was defeated, as we said yesterday, in Legislative Council. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about slimming adverts.